Just before we open the Bible and consider the gospel message, let's pray. Our Father, we just pause now again. We're thankful for the time we've enjoyed together with thy people, the time we've enjoyed considering the Word of God in this subject and this eternal practice of worship. We're thankful for the breaking of bread, that special meeting that we celebrated this morning. We realize it could have been the last time because the Lord Jesus could come. But we pray that if it is not, that it will have an effect upon us. And now as we open the Word of God again, we would love to speak to share the gospel, but we need help to do so. We think of how there is the possibility that some could be saved today. Some could worship for the very first time. What a thrilling prospect. We know that it's possible through our Lord Jesus and the provision he made when he died on the cross. Help us to present Christ and him crucified as we look to thee in the worthy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I would like to read with you two places in the New Testament. First of all, in Romans chapter 4, please. Romans chapter 4. And we'll just read the last verse. Verse 25, speaking about Jesus our Lord, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. He was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. I'll turn to the right in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 1, Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, that good news, the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. Ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, or Peter, then of the 12. After that he was seen of about 500 brothers at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present. But some are fallen asleep, that is, some of them have died. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. Last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. If I had to pick out three words, just three words out of our reading today, that would be the focus of what I would like to speak on, it would be the three words. And three words that are found in verse 4. He rose again. I'd like to talk to you about the death, burial, and especially the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He rose again. We have read about the announcement of the resurrection of Christ. The Apostle Paul visited the city of Corinth and he preached there for about a year and a half. Little time passes, and he sends them this letter, 1 Corinthians. And he reminds them when he was there. And he talks about what I preached unto you. He says, you remember what I preached unto you? What did he preach? And then he gives a 30-word, approximately 30-word summary of a year and a half worth of preaching. Well, if you could sum up our message this weekend, we'd be really happy, Shad and I, if you could sum up our gospel preaching with these 30 words. That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared. 30-word summary. He rose again. That's the message that he was announcing there. When he announced that message, what happened? He tells us. He says they were saved. That's why we're announcing the same message here all these hundreds of years later. Because in declaring that he rose again, you could this afternoon, you could be saved. Let me ask you, are you saved? There was a time in these people's lives because they were not Christians. Believe me, we know enough about them. They were not Christians. But when they heard this truth, that Christ died and that he was buried and he rose again, they were saved. You go around afterwards and ask people here, are you saved? Everybody who's saved would be able to go back and tell you that when it was and how they understood and how they received salvation. He rose again. This great message is a message announced that can bring salvation. But notice how precious this message is, because what are we saved from? We're not saved from cancer. We're not saved from disease. Christians can get cancer. Christians can get disease. We're not even saved from dying. That's not what it says. It says where Christ died for our sins. Saved from having to be held responsible, held accountable for our sins. What a peace it gave the Corinthians. What a joy just to know. I don't know all that's going to happen in my life, but even if I died, doesn't matter. I'm going to heaven because my sins have been taken care of, because Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he was buried, and he rose again. It was powerful. Changed their lives. Go back to chapter 6. If you read there the characteristics of what they were before, wow. Some of them were thieves. Some of them were drunkards. Some of them were really immoral, sexually immoral. They were a bad group, idolaters. They were changed by the announcement that he rose again. And this message is changing lives today. And you may think that you're doing okay, but I want to tell you, this message could change you and give you blessing that you'll never find anywhere else in the world. All because he rose again. They were saved. There's so many people that have the idea, well, nobody knows where they're going and nobody knows anything. And after we die, well, if we die like a dog, well, we'll never know. But if we don't die like a dog, well, then we'll find out when we get there. That's nonsense. The Bible says you can know here and now. He says, you are saved. That's what he says here in verse 2, by which also ye are saved. Do you know for sure today that if your life ends this evening at 8 o'clock, do you know for sure that you're going to be in heaven? That you're going to be in a place of peace and joy? That you're going to exist forever and enjoy existence? That's what the Bible offers in heaven with the Lord himself. He rose again. And here is the announcement. And we are relaying it on to you today, because we would love for you to come into the blessing of this announcement, because he rose again. But I want you to think with me about the anchor of the resurrection of Christ. It really is the anchor. Verse 14, the apostle even says so. I think that's the verse where he says, if Christ be not risen, our preaching is in vain, and your faith is also in vain. When I was in university, I was challenged. My professors, students, non-students. I was exposed to things I had never heard before. And I made a choice when I was at University of Michigan to take a couple of weeks or longer, whatever it took. Because the challenge that I had got was that maybe just maybe, what I believed was just because of what my parents told me and what all I'd heard all my life. So I went back and I began to think, where will I start? You know, questions like, is there a God? Questions like, is the Bible true? Questions like, is there a heaven? Is there a hell? What happens? All those questions. Where do you even start? There's all kinds of religious ideas and all kinds of philosophical ideas. And where do you even start? Then it came to me. Where it all starts is not in philosophy and not in religion. It starts in history. Did Jesus Christ die? Was he buried? And did he rise again? There is no other religion or religious leader that makes that claim. It's unique. And I would challenge you this afternoon. Did he die? Was he buried? And did he rise from the dead? That's what he's saying here. If he didn't, you believed in vain. Your faith is in vain. Our preaching for a year and a half was in vain. It was all empty. It was meaningless. But if it is true, my friend, it's the basis of the Christian faith that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again, the anchor. It's very much like, likely most of you know what it is. You know that game Jenga, where you stack all the pieces of wood up, and it's all stacked up, and then everybody takes a turn, and you pull out a piece, and somebody else pulls out a piece, and you pull out a piece, and then usually I'm the one who pulls out the piece, and the whole thing falls down. There was one piece there that was the key one. That's what he's saying here. What's the one key piece of the Christian faith? The basis of everything, he says, it's this. It's the resurrection of Christ. He rose again. It's the anchor of our faith. And we are offering you tonight, this afternoon, a faith, a salvation that is based on a historical event, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, the anchor, as he points it out here. But there are those who would even question the very fact that Christ died. And they would say he didn't really rise from the dead. They would say something like, well, maybe he just kind of fainted. And they even talk about him swooning or fainting. And he was kind of unconscious for a while. And he was put in the tomb. And then he came back to life again. So he really didn't rise from the dead. What is the assurance that we know that that happened? Well, first of all, think about it for a moment. We know from the Bible and from history, we know that the Lord Jesus was beaten with hands. He was beaten with a rod. His back was cut open. That kind of trauma takes an effect on you. He went for about at least 15 hours without any food or drink. He was nailed to a cross and hung out in the sun. He was on a cross for 6 hours. Soldiers came who were used to evaluating where the people were dead, and they could evaluate these two men, and so what they did was they broke the legs of the men on each side to hurry them. They knew all about death, and they came to the Lord Jesus, and those trained eyes said, dead already. Some kind men got permission, and Joseph and Nicodemus, they took the body of the Lord Jesus off that cross. And the Bible says they wrapped his body up in a 100-pound casement. Pieces of linen and this cement-like ointment, and they wrap them all up, kind of mummy style, and they wrap them all up, and there's one around his head even. Well, if he wasn't weak and he couldn't breathe before, now he... And then they picked that up, these two men, and they carry it over and they put it inside a cold tomb, and then they seal it up with a big stone, and then they put a Roman seal on it, and then the Romans are a Roman guard outside. Do you really believe that he was just kind of unconscious and somehow walked out through all of that? I don't see how that could be possible. That's why the Bible doesn't even go on to prove it. It just says Christ died. There is no question that he died. That's why they buried him. The men who buried him, they wanted him to be alive. They didn't want him to be dead. They would have checked his pulse. They would have listened. They would have watched any movement, any possible. They wanted him to be alive. And they were concluded, he has not fainted. He has not swooned. Christ died, and as a result, he was buried. There were those who think that tried to pass off that maybe actually he didn't rise again. He maybe just... Maybe everybody went to the wrong tomb, and they looked at... Do you think Joseph and Nicodemus, who went... If everybody was going to the wrong tomb afterwards, do you not think they would have said, no, it's two over to the left. It's down the row, up there a little bit. You know how it is. And they knew exactly where it was. The Bible says that there were women, and they saw where he was buried. Women saw it. And they were the same women who went back to the same place. How could they make a mistake? And the Bible says an angel went there. The angel would have had to make a mistake. They knew exactly where it was. And so we know that Christ died and he was buried. No question about it. But there are some who say, well, they tried to pass this off in the New Testament, that some came and they stole the body away. He didn't really rise. They stole the body and they buried it somewhere else. Think about that. Just suppose Shad was there and he steals the body and he takes it and he hides it in another tomb and everybody's believing that he rose from the dead. And then it comes time, they come and they persecute Christians. These supposed Christians who are standing up because Christ died, and they're going to persecute and they're going to martyr, make him a martyr, because this idea that Christ rose, and he knows that he's not going to die for it. He's going to come out with the truth. These people knew for, and they were willing to die for it. There is absolutely assurance from the Word of God and from history. This reality, Christ rose from the dead. He rose again. But when it comes to this unique event, I want you to think about the appearances as well. The Bible says that in the Jewish law was that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. Did you do the math? Did you count up the list there? He says that there was at one point 500 witnesses, plus the apostles, plus James. We're up to 513 already. 513. And not only that, some of them saw the Lord Jesus alive again more than one time. There was absolutely no question about it at all. And one was not even a believer. That would have been James, the half-brother of the Lord Jesus. One of them was a Christian who was embarrassed and was hiding, and that was Peter. And all of these come together, and they make it absolutely assured for us that he rose again. But I want you to think with me about this idea of the resurrection of Christ. Because what it says is he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Think about the accuracy of this. According to what was written. What was written? Well, that's the left side of your Bible. That's what makes the Bible a unique book. There's no other book like it. The Bible, the Word of God. About a year and a half ago, I guess it was, I had the privilege of being with Dr. Sandy Higgins in his home. And one afternoon, he said to me, tomorrow, he said, I'd like to take you down to Washington, D.C. Would you like to go to the Library of Congress? My first thought was to yawn, but no, I said, no, I think I'll go. I wanted to see the Library of Congress, and down we went. And when you go there, it's impressive. 16 million books are on store there. You don't see them all. There are a lot of them are off-site in different storage factories, warehouses, and they have everything that's been printed. 16 million books. And as you stand up there and you look out at some of the books that are on display, and some people down in the library area that are reading, I thought to myself, there's only one book there that stands out. No other book there like this one. Where 700 years before, a prophet wrote, he poured out his soul unto death. And a psalmist wrote, they pierced my hands, how he would die. They pierced my hands and my feet. And he did die. And he did die by crucifixion. The accuracy of it all. And 700 years before, the Bible had predicted that when he died, he would die with wicked people. He died with two thieves on either side. And 700 years before, the Bible had said that when he was buried, it would be with rich people. You say, how did that work? Exactly the way the Bible said. Joseph of Arimathea gave away to Jesus his own tomb, a very rich man. See, the Bible was very accurate. That's not where it stopped. The Bible went on to say he was buried and he rose again. If I said to you, I'd like to prophesy that one day my good friend Tim McCauley is going to die, you wouldn't think of me as a prophet. He wouldn't be comfortable with me saying that, but I wouldn't be much of a prophet because the likelihood is we're all going to die. If I even said how he was going to die, that might be a little bit better. But if I told you that 3 days later he'll be walking in here, he'll be eating some of that good meat again that we had already here at this place, you'd say, wait a minute. Now you're getting into something really spectacular. The prophet said that after he died, he shall see. He'll be alive again. The psalmist said he will be alive. His body will not see corruption. His body will not disintegrate. He will be alive again. The Bible was predicting a miracle. This was not some everyday occurrence. But it goes even further. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again, and even more specific, the third day according to the Scriptures. You see, in the Old Testament, there was a man named Jonah. And Jonah disappeared. He was inside the great fish, whale if you like, and he had a whale of experience, that's for sure. There he was down there, and all of a sudden he's tossed up onto the beach. How long was he in there? 3 days. Why? Jesus said that was picturing exactly what's going to happen to me. That's what he said about himself. I will be 3 days inside the heart of the earth. He explained it all. God was promising through that big fish and through Jonah exactly that Christ would die and he would be buried and that he would rise again the third day. The third day, even the third day, according to the Scriptures, the absolute accuracy, the reliability of the Bible in this great truth, he rose again. But now, why is this such good news? Let me just close by pointing out to you the acceptability of his resurrection. Just suppose that my preaching partner this weekend, he committed a crime. Mr. Shad Kember is in jail. The determination is made that he is going to have to pay $50,000. Mr. McCauley says to us, listen, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to go down, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to save him from this. I'm actually going to go down, and I'll pay the full amount, $50,000. And so we gather around. We gather outside the courthouse, and we watch. And here comes Tim McCauley. He pulls up. He gets out, and he goes in. You convinced he did it yet? You want me to keep going with the story? Can we just stop there? He goes in and he... How will we know when he's paid enough? When all of a sudden the automatic doors open. And out comes Tim McCauley. My friend, how would you ever know if Christ dying for our sins is a good enough payment? Did he really go in? Did he go into death? The wages of sin is death. He's gone into death to make the payment. He's gone in because he wants to save us from being accountable, held accountable for our sins. How will we know? Paul says, I can tell you. Christ did go into death. Christ died. And he did go into death for our sins. Christ died for our sins. And in fact, he really did go in because he was buried. Just exactly the way the Bible said he would, according to the Scriptures. But ladies and gentlemen in Corinth, ladies and gentlemen in the Marian Gospel Hall tonight, this afternoon, he rose again. The doors of death opened, if you will. And up from the grave he arose. The Lord Jesus, he rose again. Exactly the way the Bible said he would. On the third day, giving that all of the authority of his resurrection. God was saying he has made a payment, not for his own sin because he had none. He was making a payment that was good enough so that the world could be saved. Christ died for our sins. God accepted the payment. He rose him from the dead. And in fact, even more than that, not just did he appear for a while to prove that he was risen from the dead, he ascended, and today, Christ who died for our sins, he is seated at the right hand of God. God has accepted his payment. Isn't that what Paul says? He was delivered unto death. He was delivered for our offenses. Because of our offenses, because of our sins, he was delivered into death. But thank God, he was raised again. Gives us the assurance that we're right with God, justified, because he rose again. The resurrection of Christ. What does it mean to you? I hope it'll mean everything to you today. It'll give you this great understanding. The payment of the Lord Jesus when he died for our sins has been accepted by God. The challenge this afternoon is, will it be accepted by you? Paul preached it in Corinth, and he says, you are saved. Nearly 44 years ago, I heard this message. I was concerned about my sins against God, and I came to understand that Christ had died for my sins, and it was acceptable to God. And if it's acceptable to God, then I'll accept it too. And I was saved. Still acceptable to God. Always will be. I leave you with a question. Is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, is that enough for you? May God bless his word.